Out here, it's not only the amazing views, but the way time stretches out a little longer and how the breeze hits just right at the summit. With All Trails, you can discover nature's best with over 450,000 trails around the world. Download the free app today.
What does possibility mean to you?
That's a hard question.
Something that you can strive for.
That I'm able to do anything I set my mind to.
You're confident in yourself and you believe in yourself. Stuff that you could achieve.
I feel excited. Anything is possible when you're more confident.
Shoes are a huge part of that.
They are the most important part of my style.
You can like express yourself in the right shoes.
Anything is possible.
DSW, countless shoes at bragworthy prices. Imagine the possibilities.
Meet Natural Cycles, the only FDA-cleared and CE-marked birth control app that's built around your body. The Natural Cycles app pinpoints your fertile days by tracking shifts in your temperature, so you can plan or prevent pregnancy naturally. It's easy to use. Simply take your temperature in the morning with our free Bluetooth thermometer included with our annual plan, or sync with your Oura Ring or Apple Watch. The app analyzes your data and tells you daily whether it's a fertile or non-fertile day. Natural Cycles is 93% effective with typical use and 98% effective with perfect use. But beyond effective birth control, the app helps you understand your body and cycle better than ever. And unlike some period tracking apps, Natural Cycles provides an advanced data protection program to keep your information private and secure. Ready to go hormone-free? Sign up for the Natural Cycles annual plan and get a free Bluetooth thermometer, plus 15% off your subscription with the code RADIO15 at naturalcycles.com.
The Buffalo Bills showing that the first two games were not on the flukish side. They come back against the Patriots. Tom Brady on first down has it deflected and picked off. Intercepted by Florence. Florence is in for the touchdown.
Sorry, I just laughed at showing that the first two games were not a fluke. Little did they know, 2 months later. That is, we've been doing a lot of stadium memories today. That was the 2011 Drayton Florence pick six against the Patriots. The best, or the funniest, I should say, like, edit I've ever seen for Sports Illustrated was, it wasn't a real one, that was on the cover of Sports Illustrated. I think Stampede was maybe the title of it. And later in the year, I think when they had finished the season, I think was it 6-10, that someone had changed the title to Pick 6-10, which I thought was very funny and clever and miserable because it was the middle of the drought. But either way, that day was, you know, my generation, that is one of the best ones if you were in the stadium for that day that you got. But we've got our war stories about Romo and Monday Night Football and Jason Elam running on the field. We got those too. 803-0550 is the phone number. Let's go to Brian Koziel now on the Wester Hotline. We'll talk some golf. Maybe we'll mix in a little bit of hockey. But Brian, what's your first stadium experience? What do you remember? What's the first game you're ever at?
Oh God, my first one was probably before Kelly and the Bills became really, really good when he was there. Mm-hmm. I feel like it was a game against the Rams in like the mid 80s.
Okay.
I don't have too many memories of like me going to the stadium the first time. I just think maybe just because I was younger, I would have been, I don't know, you know.
Yeah.
I don't know, 9 or 10 years old. The one highlight there that you just played with Drayton Florence, I know Josh was asking me before I got on about my, at least a game that I say, you know, like what's my favorite, one of my favorite memories at the stadium.
Uh-huh.
And at least I saw it recently, you know, sure, you know, the games that you said, you know, that are the obvious ones, the 51-3 game, the comeback game, all these sort of, mm-hmm. But, recent memory, we would always pick one game a year. My family and all my cousins and relatives would come in and we'd have a huge, huge tailgate with, like, you know, I don't know, 20, 30 of us. And then we would go in and it would be one game a year. And inevitably it would always be a game that where either the weather was terrible, the game was terrible, the ending was terrible. But this game was playing out that way. It was a perfect day. It was September. Weather was perfect.
Mm-hmm.
And the Bills fell down 21-0. And then all of us, you know, Brady ends up with four touchdowns in the game. Like, here we go. It's another one of those Patriots teams. And they, as you heard in the clip there, they get off to a 2-0 start. Mm-hmm. We're thinking, hey, maybe this could be something here this season. And then they start to come back. And one of my favorite Bills ever, Ryan Fitzpatrick, is kind of leading the charge. He gets touchdowns along the way to Stevie Johnson and Scott Chandler. And then the Florence interception where they take the lead for the first time. We're like, holy cow, in just an unbelievable fourth quarter. But to me, the moment of the game that was so great is on the final drive, the game's tied, and Fitzpatrick hits Fred Jackson on a pass down the middle, and he gets tackled near the goal line.
Yeah.
And I remember, like, as he's running, everybody in the stadium, everyone around us, you know, you're like, go, 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 go. And then all of a sudden, he gets tackled. And then we're like, wait, no, that was better. That was better.
Right.
Because it would have given Brady time.
It would have. And what I remember is I think they called it a touchdown on the field. And
yes, you're right.
Belichick, I don't know if you were able to tell this from the stadium, but on TV, they were zoomed in on Belichick with the one line judge or whatever. And Belichick is losing his mind. Because he doesn't want the play reviewed. He thinks because the result was a touchdown from the Bills that he can basically say, no, don't review it. Maybe there was a rule then that if you challenged in the last 2 minutes that they wouldn't review it. It'd be a penalty and they wouldn't review it. I think he tried to do that too. Like, he was trying desperately to not have it get called back, but it eventually did.
Yeah, and then after that, we realized that it was better because then they could wind the clock down all the way and give Brady no time. And yes, I remember that sequence, and Belichick's on the field trying to, and he has no timeouts at this point. Now, maybe the challenge because of the timeouts, I don't know, but he obviously is quite upset. Brady's sitting on the bench on the sideline, and you know, he has just torched the Bills all day, but he also had gotten picked four times too.
Right.
Welker has 16 catches in this game, 217 yards. So, I mean, he had a phenomenal day. But the Bills figured out a way, and obviously at the end there, you know it's ticking down. I mean, this is a Lindell field goal that's 28 yards. I mean, it's as, as gimme as it's going to be. And the clock's ticking down, and Belichick's on the field, and you're sitting here saying, like, wow, we're going to get New England here, go to 3-0, and, you know, 2011, you're thinking, okay, maybe this is the year we could break the drought. And obviously, it was pretty much a lot of downhill from this point forward. But the day for me, as just a fan of the stands, was perfect. All my family and friends, I remember my brother and I going just bonkers in the stands when you know, some of these plays happen, like the Florence interception or the Jackson play down to the front. But what made it extra sweet was the opponent and Belichick on the field and not being able to do anything about it, and then realizing that, yes, you know, Lindell's going to kick this chip shot field goal to win. And yeah, that was, and the weather was perfect. I mean, you know, everything lined up for it being an amazing September day at the stadium.
Yep. And then they end up with a 6-game losing streak later in that season. The one other memory on that, just to share, that I remember is on that's early Twitter, but I definitely remember because there might have been a question of this, like whether it would happen going into it. I remember the Bills, at least, seeing that they had taken the goalpost down on their own to dissuade fans from running on the field and trying to tear the goalpost down after they beat the Patriots, which, looking back, like, probably a good thing that didn't happen, because if they had torn the goalpost down in a season where they had gone 6-10, that might not have been the best look, you know. That would have been
something. Yeah, I mean, and obviously, New England was dominating the Bills at that point, but that would have looked pretty bad that you're, what, 3-0?
Right.
You're tearing down goalposts like you just won a title. Yeah,
yeah, we were just desperate
for
anything.
That would have been looked back at as a bad video, for sure.
Yeah, we were just desperate for anything at that point in time. Brian Koziol, T to Green, Sabres pre- and post-game host, of course, on the Western Hotline. So I'm got the Scottish Open on in here right now, and it's the Scheffler and Morikawa groups that I'm watching. How this is not even a PGA Tour event, Brian, but the field is always really strong. How much does this event to you usually give us a sign or a signal of who could perform well next week at the Open Championship?
I don't know if it directly correlates. I mean, some guys like to take the week off before majors, and some guys like to play. So, I mean, you may have some of the guys that you might consider to say, as big time favorites next week, and they're not even playing this week just because it is the week before. Now, what we usually do get is a decent amount of American players that will play in this event, and we're seeing it. You know, Scheffler's playing, Shoffley's playing, some of the bigger, Morikawa's playing, because they want to give themselves a week of kind of playing link style courses, adjusting to the weather, adjusting to the time zone, adjusting to maybe playing more with the wind before they go ahead and play the British Open next week. So usually this is where the kind of the bigger field comes in. I know Scheffler got off to a good start. He eagled his first hole today right away, and he's doing what he does, lurking right now, sitting in eighth. I think he just finished up his round here. But yeah, I think overall, this event, I would say, while it's not one of the elevated events that gets everybody in there, it's probably one of the better non-elevated events of the year. And I like it just because it's a different look. Obviously, the courses there give us a different look than what we see on the PGA Tour stateside here every single week. So I enjoy watching it. I mean, the last few years, this event has actually, I think, been really, really good. Last year you had Robert McIntyre win, who of course is from Scotland, and he had just come off of winning the Canadian Open in Hamilton. So we kind of knew his story, and for him to win in his home country, that was pretty sweet. And then the year before that, it was McIlroy who won over McIntyre. So, I mean, there's been some good stories some good finishes over the last 2 years, but yeah, this one probably is like your tune up. It whets your appetite for the Open next week. At the very least, if you're one of those that likes to watch golf at 4 a.m, 5 a.m, wake up early and do it. This is your chance to do it this week to get you prepped for next week.
Where does the Open Championship fall in your ranking of majors? We did this actually like a week ago, and I think I was the only one in here that said I like the Open Championship the second most because I like it being on in the morning. And the difference of it, like it just feels very different, the style of golf from the other majors. How much do you enjoy the Open compared to the other three?
Ooh, good question. I feel like I've gone back and forth with my major rankings over the course of like every time I'm asked this every few years. Mm-hmm. For me, I still think the Masters is one. I think because of the familiarity of the course, we know it so well. The traditions, just how it's different and unique. I like when things decide that they're going to make up their own rules and things like that. So, you know, just all the things that go with it. I would probably still put the Masters at one. There's some years that the U.S. Open rubs me the wrong way when they try to trick out the course, and I think it maybe plays unfairly or things like that.
Was this year one of those years?
A lot better. I think probably I would just, not to dodge your question, I'd put the Open and the U.S. Open as like my 2A and 2B.
Okay.
The PGA Championship, who I think has gotten better in terms of its excitement and its course setup. And I also think going from August to May, it's gotten itself a lot more of a better spot. But I still think probably just because of the longevity and the tradition of it, that probably has to be the fourth on most people's rankings.
But,
the Open, when it's at St. Andrews, I get sucked in with just the history of the golf and all that sort of stuff. And then if you asked me on a day like that, I'd probably put it at a clear number two.
Yeah, it almost depends where both Opens are. Because like, would this have been one of those years where the U.S. Open felt is gimmicky the right word, you know, just like unfair at times? That was maybe more though the weather on that Sunday.
Out here, it's not only the amazing views, but the way time stretches out a little longer and how the breeze hits just right at the summit. With All Trails, you can discover nature's best with over 450,000 trails around the world. Download the free app today.
What does possibility mean to you?
That's a hard question.
Something that you can strive for.
That I'm able to do anything I set my mind to.
You're confident in yourself and you believe in yourself. Stuff that you could achieve.
I feel excited. Anything is possible when you're more confident.
Shoes are a huge part of that. They are the most important part of my style.
You can like express yourself in the right shoes.
Anything is possible.
DSW, countless shoes at brag-worthy prices. Imagine the possibilities.
Meet Natural Cycles, the only FDA-cleared and CE-marked birth control app that's built around your body. The Natural Cycles app pinpoints your fertile days by tracking shifts in your temperature, so you can plan or prevent pregnancy naturally. It's easy to use. Simply take your temperature in the morning with our free Bluetooth thermometer included with our annual plan, or sync with your Oura Ring or Apple Watch. The app analyzes your data and tells you daily whether it's a fertile or non-fertile day. Natural Cycles is 93% effective with typical use and 98% effective with perfect use. But beyond effective birth control, the app helps you understand your body and cycle better than ever. And unlike some period tracking apps, Natural Cycles provides an advanced data protection program to keep your information private and secure. Ready to go hormone-free? Sign up for the Natural Cycles annual plan and get a free Bluetooth thermometer, plus 15% off your subscription with the code RADIO15 at naturalcycles.com.
Yeah, and this year it's at Oakmont, so it kind of had that old, that just that like that super, super, super hard, challenging field to it, where maybe in, you know, in other years it didn't. So it kind of fit the bill. I mean, the last 2 years the U.S. Open's been Oakmont and then Pinehurst. We had the dramatic finish this year with Spawn and all the different ways it could have ended. And then, of course, last year with DeChambeau and McIlroy going head-to-head down the stretch and DeChambeau hitting that amazing shot out of the bunker on 18. So the U.S. Open's has been delivering the last few years. This year, back at Royal Port Rust for the Open, and it's only the third time it's been held at this course, but players just seem to love it. It got amazing reviews back in 2019 when it was there, when Shane Lowry was the champion. Mm-hmm. Lowry probably would be in the discussion to be a favorite for it this year. He's had a really, really good season. Of course, McIlroy, who's completed the Grand Slam this year, still always a storyline, coming back to Ireland for himself. He's going to be someone that's going to be, I'm sure, in the buzz for this tournament this week, because he would love to win in Ireland. So I think there's a lot of good storylines. The Open is, I think, one of the tougher ones to predict because of the different style of elements. You have DP Tour, you know, European Tour players that come out of nowhere that really just, all they do is play these links courses all year, and they're so good at it. So you get some of these guys that rise up every year, like, oh yeah, I recognize that name, and all of a sudden they're in contention. But I feel like even, you know, Scheffler is easy to say, but after that, even the names that I mentioned earlier, like Shoffley, Morikawa, Justin Thomas, they've been all so up and down this year. There's been weeks where they've won, and then there's weeks where they've been awful. And I think it's going to make for a really good case of arguing almost anyone this week, because of the fact that there's so many guys that if they had a good week this week, they could win. So I don't think there's a clear-cut favorite beyond Scheffler this week.
Yeah, even Lowry, who you just mentioned, like, he has had a good season, but I feel like every other week I look up and he's slamming a club or he's bleeping the course. Like, he's just – he's very volatile, maybe, is that the word, for Lowry this year?
I agree. Yeah. And I think, you know, Lowry obviously winning here the last time, he's going to be asked to do a lot during that week in terms of media requests and other appearances and things like that. Sometimes golfers will say, like, it's tough to come back to a place that you've won because there's so many other things that go with it. And sometimes it's very taxing on the body. And just the fact maybe they're not getting the right prep, they're not the right rest. You know, I don't know how much of that Lowry will have to deal with, but I know a lot of times some players have said that coming back when you're the defending champion, sometimes it's really, really tough to kind of get yourself both physically and mentally sharp to be ready, you know, when you need to be ready to go on round one on Thursday.
Tee to green this Saturday, 7 to 8 a.m. Porter Cup week, right?
Yep. Yeah, we're actually at Niagara Falls Country Club for the next 2 weeks for our show. We are there this week to preview the event, and we will then be there next week for 2 hours because of the Open to talk a lot about that, and it's before the final round of the Porter Cup. So 2 weeks in a row. Yeah, Porter Cup this year, the 66th edition of the event. It's a lot of mostly great college players from across the country that are getting invited to this event. I know we've talked about this before, but worth mentioning for those that are maybe hearing it for the first time. The Porter Cup is a really good amateur tournament that's held every single year at Niagara Falls Country Club. The men have been hosting it for 66 years, the women now for 12 years. And it's the third year now in a row that they've done the men and the women simultaneously, which is something that's kind of made them more of a unique event. And they've gotten a lot of positive feedback on that. On the men's side, I mean, you could start with Tiger Woods in terms of players that have played in this event. He actually made a hole-in-one on the 12th hole at Niagara Falls Country Club. He's played in this Phil Mickelson has played in it and won it. Another name from the past, David Duval, has played in this event, world number one. He's played in this event. More current players, Justin Thomas has played in it. Brooks Koepka has played in it. Ricky Fowler has played in it. So you've got some names that are, you know, currently that have been played. A former recent champion, Denny McCarthy, who's maybe labeled as the best putter on the PGA Tour. He has played in this tournament himself. This year, some of the maybe the local players of note, Anthony DeLisante from Sanborn, New York. He spent a lot of his time playing out of Willowbrook. He, by the way, is leading the New York State Amateur Tournament this week right now. So okay. He might be coming in off of a nice win coming into the Porter Cup next week. He's going to play in a Corn Ferry Tournament event following the Porter Cup. So Anthony's a player that if you like to follow local golf, you should know his name. Who knows? He might have an opportunity that we'll be talking about him playing in pro events here sometime soon. Another local player, Ryan Edholm, Canisius golfer. He was the runner-up last year. He'll be back playing again to try to get himself the title this year. So those are a couple of local players on the men's side that will be playing. On the women's side, probably the most famous player that has ever played in it and played in the first time it was held 12 years ago, Brooke Henderson, Canadian golfer, very, very accomplished player from the LPGA side. She has played in this event. So they'll have another group of young ladies also participating this week.
All right. And Duster Challenge also, you can still obviously sign up for that right at the top of your Twitter.
Yeah, go to the top of my Twitter page. It's at BrianWGR. We're getting close to being sold out. I know usually the last 2 years we've had just over 100. We can fit 108 maximum players just from terms of the space and the timing. I know we were in the high 80s when I last checked a few days ago. So go to the top of my Twitter page at BrianWGR. The link's right there. It's an 18-hole putting contest. We set up a huge 18-hole putting course on the Glen Oak practice facility area. And we've got a wave of golfers at 6 o'clock, a wave of golfers at 7 o'clock. And then we narrow it down. We do a cut, and we take the top 16 putters and go 1 versus 16, 2 versus 15, and so on. And we do it to benefit PGA Hope. PGA Hope's a program to benefit military veterans who have come home and are trying to get themselves back accustomed to normal life as we know it, as fortunate as we are as citizens. And through golf, we try to give them some experiences where they can bond with other military veterans through golf programs and golf experiences, and also even possibly golf-aided equipment that might help them if they've acquired some sort of disability or injury while serving our country. So it's all for a great cause. It's a $49 donation. It gets you dinner. Peter Gourmet is going to give you a free dinner. You need drinks. Michelob Ultra is providing the drinks. We'll have drinks and seltzers and beer and all that sort of stuff and soda. So that'll be all unlimited for you all night long. We turn on the lights later on in the night. We'll have music going, prizes, raffles, 50-50, all that sort of stuff. We're excited to announce, you know, celebrities that we have participating. Bulldog and Owen are going to be participating in the Duster this year. So you can come out and see if you can try to beat them. Owen has been, from what Bulldog says, trending well on the golf course. So I'm curious. Owen, if you're listening, all you got to do is two putt. If you can shoot 36 putting on our 18 hole, you'll probably make it into the top 16. So that's your goal.
From what I saw out of you, Owen, at Tri-County, I feel like you've got it in you. You've got a good result.
I heard you say cut, Brian, and my eyes lit up. I was like, I'm going to compete for something now. This is awesome. I'm very excited to get out there. We're going to play on the afternoon before we come down there and do the putting event. So
also,
we're super excited.
A golf competition for someone that's hitting the ball like 310 down the middle, and you're not going to get to use that talent.
No, that's okay, though. That's fine. That's unreliable enough. I'm okay with leaving that to the side for now.
Yeah. All right.
Yeah, no, it's super fun, and you don't even have to be like a golfer to do it. We encourage everybody to come do it to help support the cause. And hang out and have dinner and have drinks and you know, you can watch Owen putting in the finals here down the stretch here. We hope maybe he'll get a chance to make it that far. But yeah, it's a really, really fun night. Again, just go to the top of my Twitter page at BrianWGR. The link's there. If you're an area business or company, or you just want to donate, even if you can't participate, you can do so on that page as well. It's a week from tomorrow. It's Friday, July 18th. We have a wave of putters at 6 p.m., a wave of putters at 7 p.m. at Glen Oak. and it's a great time. So I hope everybody can come out and support it.
Oh, very, very quickly before we wrap, because I know you're obviously huge into or big into tennis. Is Djokovic at this age at 38? Like, is he separating himself at all from Federer, Nadal by playing this long? Whereas I think those two weren't they about done being this competitive by that age?
His longevity is definitely the most impressive, I think, of any tennis player ever. And I know statistically, Grand Slams-wise and, you know, finals appearances-wise and majors and things like that, he does have a slight edge on those other two. If you said, like, greatest tennis player ever, I'm probably answering Roger Federer, but I feel like Djokovic, to me, is gaining traction to have that argument. I think Federer's impact off the court is so massive that... Yeah. He probably still would be my easy answer to say yes to this, but Djokovic just continues to play great. I don't know if I want to say he's becoming more likable with age, but he seems to be also publicly handling himself in a better fashion. It seems he was definitely like under the radar of Federer and Nadal, and I don't think he liked it. He was always trying to kind of like do things or say things that maybe tried to get him in that group, but now that he's got more of the spotlight than the other two, I feel like, you know, people are finding him to be a little bit more likable. And because he's older now, rooting for him, you know, there's a story there in itself. But what a Final Four left on the men's side. You know, Fritz almost could have lost in the first round. We still have a USA player left over, which, you know, for men's tennis, it's been a long, long time since we've had dominant players from the United States playing. So to have Alcaraz, to have Sinner, and then, of course, you know, Djokovic, as you mentioned, it's a pretty amazing Final Four left at Wimbledon. It should be good semis and good finals.
Sinner might not have been here if the guy he was playing, was it 2 rounds ago, had to retire midway through the match because of a shoulder injury.
That's right. He was down 0-2 in sets.
Right.
Yeah. Sinner's probably got to be lucky that he's still alive. That's a great point, Joe. I forgot about that.
And we get that match tomorrow morning. All right. Kept you long enough. Thanks, Brian, for taking some time out, and we'll talk soon.
Okay, Joe. Thanks, guys.
Brian Koziol, Tee to Green, 7 to 8 this Saturday. Be sure to check it out. Big golf week and a half here that we have in front of us. Revisit from earlier, our stadium conversation. If you've got a memory that you haven't heard brought up today, maybe your first game that you went to, it could be a deep pull. Feel free to give us a call at 803-0550. Got some tweets to go through on that front as well. Jody Biasi, hanging out for another half hour or so until we get you off to the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. That's coming up here on WGR.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, Swift Rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Did you know your credit card points and miles can lose value to inflation while they collect dust? Credit card companies often reduce the redemption value of your points and miles. Imagine a credit card with rewards that can grow in value. With a Gemini credit card, you can earn Bitcoin or one of over 50 other cryptos instantly with no annual fee. Every swipe at the store or gas pump earns you instant rewards deposited straight to your account. Plus, sign up now for a $200 Bitcoin bonus. To kickstart your rewards, visit Gemini.com/card today. Again, if you're looking to invest in Bitcoin but don't know where to start, the Gemini credit card makes it easy. Issued by WebBank, in order to qualify for the $200 crypto intro bonus, you must be approved by June 30th, 2025 and spend $3,000 in your first 90 days. Terms apply. Some exclusions apply to instant rewards in which rewards are deposited when the transaction posts. This content is not investment advice and trading crypto involves risk. For more details on rates, fees, and other Gemini credit card terms, see rates and fees.